1 John chapter 5. Tonight we'll be on verse 14. But let's go ahead and read, starting at verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son of God does not have life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So if you remember from last week, we talked about how John has written, these things I've written to you because. So we kind of went back and reviewed the few times that he said that, because whenever he said that, it's always good to go back and look. So I remember us talking about that, that we are assured of, that we know that we have eternal life, right? Eternal life in heaven, and also know that we have Christ, for He is eternal life. We know, we're assured of, that we have Him. And knowing that, how we should long for that day, right? Long for we don't have these struggles of sin anymore, struggles of sickness and death and dying, right? How we long to be at home with our Father. Thank you. So verse 14, let's read one more time. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, this is one of those verses there that sometimes a lot of people will take out of context and twist it and turn it to get it to what they want it to mean. Okay, so we're going to break it down and see what it's really telling us here. Now, this is a confidence. Your confidence or boldness. Here it means particularly in speaking. So in praying, we have confidence and boldness when we approach God in prayer. We don't have to go trembling and shaking, although we ought to have a fear and respect for God. But when it comes to praying and speaking to God, we can do it in confidence, knowing that He is our God. He is our Father. He is the only one that we can cry out to. He is the only one that can help us. So we can go in confidence to God and ask, okay? So the liberty of access and speech, we need to remember that all of us, we get the privilege of praying to God. That's another thing here that too many times we overlook. We don't stop and think about the significance here, that we get to pray, talk to God. Do we stop and think about that, or do we just kind of forget that this is God Almighty here, right? Maker of the heavens and the earth. Like I said, the one who gives us life and sustains our life. He spoke and created. God Almighty. And we get to pray to Him. That's pretty powerful when you stop and take time and think about that. That ordinary us, you know, just humans, He's God. And we're just but mere humans that He created. But in that, we get the opportunity to talk to God, to tell Him our struggles, to sing praises to Him, to ask of things, to share with Him what's going on throughout your day. Just as I'm talking to you now, just as you talk to your friends. Keep in mind, this is God, not your friends. This is God Almighty. So we ought to have a respect when we go and pray to Him. Is it okay to complain? Sure, but in a respectful way. Okay, so again, confidence here is particularly in speaking. We have the liberty of access and speech to God. We get the privilege of coming to God and praying to Him. He is the one that we cry out, Abba Father, right? That's the one thing that all of us have in common here. If we're true Christians, true children of God, that Christ is our Father. That is the one thing that we have in common, that we share in, that all of us have God as our Father, and He is the one that we can go to and cry out, Abba Father. He is the one that we can get on our knees and cry out and ask for forgiveness to. He is the one that we can go to and ask if someone is dying of sickness to ask to heal them. You understand what I'm saying? It is an honor, a privilege that you and I can pray to God. And hopefully we take time and spend most of our day praying to God. And it doesn't mean we have to be off in a closet with a door shut praying to Him, although we should. All of us should be doing more of that. But throughout the day, right? Pray without ceasing, it says. It doesn't mean you're walking around like zombies. But throughout the day, you're talking to God, praying to Him. Maybe just singing a song of praise to Him. Or He's there in our weakness, right? God is always there in our weakness. If we're struggling with something, what's the first thing we should do? Cry out for help. Right? Who is the one who helps us? God. Who is the one who overcomes our weaknesses, our flesh in this world? God. So who is the one we pray to? God. The one who sustains our very life and the only one who can answer our prayer to begin with. No one in here can answer our prayers, but only God can answer our prayers. For those of you in my high school Sunday school class, you'll remember that we're currently going through the book of Esther. Who's Anna, Sammy, Chris? Anyone else? No one else? Anyways, we're going through the book of Esther. So a little quiz here for you three. So, talking about a physical king, okay? King Xerxes. In order to approach him and come near to him, how were you able to do that? Secret hand sign thing. Okay, very good. In order to approach the king, he had to request of your presence. Send Desiree to me. I have something I want to talk to her. That's the only way that you were allowed to go see the king. Or if you knew the secret sign, whatever that was, okay? And even that was only given to certain people that he wanted to. Like his top officials, his servants, you know? Even his wife, the queen, was not allowed to go and see him at will. Okay, even his wife, the queen. In fact, you three, what happened to the first queen who did not come when he requested? She got the boot. She was ousted, right? Thus, Esther feeling God's providence plan. Okay, so now for us, God Almighty, King, do we have to know a secret sign or secret passage to approach Him? Well, in Christ, we can approach God. Through Christ, we have access to God. Christ is our mediator to God. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? No longer can just certain people talk to God, but all of us. The Word said that Christ, He is now our mediator to God. And so we can pray directly to Him. If we sin, we pray and ask forgiveness directly to God. He's the only one that can forgive us of our sins, because He's God. All men, all women, we're all sinners. All of us. And God is the only one who can forgive. And so we go to Him directly to ask for forgiveness. Christ is our mediator. But even in that, it's not like we have to have some secret message or code. We have the freedom to go and cry out to God in prayer. When we're hurting, when we're down and out, we cry out to Him. When things are good, we give Him praise and honor. When we're praying for somebody, we go to Him and pray for that special someone. Right? We need to remember this, that it's an honor and privilege, and we get to pray to God. And again, Christ is our mediator. So, unlike the physical king, Xerxes, we didn't have to be requested of. It's not as if God says, well, you have Monday to come and pray to me, and you have Tuesday, and you have Wednesday's afternoon, or nothing, no kind of schedule. Or you can only pray to me when it's a full moon out. Anytime, whether it's early in the morning, or midday, or late at night, if you wake up in the middle of the night, you can pray to God. While you're at school, walking to your next class, you can pray to God. While you're driving down the road, you can pray. So this is the confidence or boldness in speaking that we have in Him, or literally in the Greek, towards Him, or in respect to Him. This is the confidence that we have towards Him, or in respect to Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Anything according to His will, He hears us. So how do you think this verse here is twisted up? Anyone? How do you think this verse here can be twisted up? Elijah?
Ask anything, you'll get it.
Okay. Ask anything and you'll get it. In other words, God is just like a genie in a bottle at our command. Psh, what do you need? Psh, what do you need? Psh, what do you need? Our God is no genie. At our disposal, at our command. He is God Almighty. He does what He wills. We don't tell God what we want Him to do. He could squish us if He so chose to. He could withhold our next breath and we would fall and die. He could stop the earth from rotating the way it does and it would spin all around crazy and all of us would be dizzy and die. He can make the sun burn 100 times hotter and consume the earth. He is not at our disposal. He is not some genie trapped in a bottle. He is God. He is sovereign over all. Over the stars, over the moon, over the planets, over us, over every little creeping thing that crawls. He is in control of everything. So, you know, I'm really wanting a Corvette, you know, and if I'm really good and I pray hard with boldness, God, I'm coming with boldness. I'm asking for that Corvette. The red one convertible at, you know. How disrespectful is this? And yet you turn on the TBN channel and that's all you see. Every single time you hear the preacher talking about being blessed with money. What does the Bible tell us about desiring and wanting money and things? The money is what? The root of all evil. And what about possessions? If we're desiring all these possessions, then that's what I don't understand. You see these preachers, and they're hammering this home. Oh, you want that nice Harley Davidson? Just ask for it. Or give $100 and you'll be blessed tenfold. And someone will knock on your door and say, here, here's a Harley Davidson. If you have enough faith. And so you have these people thinking that, yes, anything I want, anything I desire, anything I ask for, I can get. But wouldn't that make those possessions idols? What is it that we're longing for, that we're desiring? Is it the possessions? Or is it to know God more and to be like Him more, to serve Him more, to love Him more, and to love each other more? I mean, I'm not saying you can't have a nice car. I'm not saying you can't have nice things. But is that our desire and our drive and all that we're working for? If it is, it's an idol. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. What is it that we're serving and giving of our time to? Do we pray throughout the day? Is God even a thought in our minds throughout the day? Or are we too consumed with other things, with people, with possessions? There's only one God. And a Corvette can't answer my prayer. Sure, I would like a Corvette. But if I want that more than I want to be like Christ, I've got some serious problems. We were watching a channel one night, Carol and I, and you have this preacher, the same one that Pastor Tim was mentioned before, Jesse. And this is no joke. It's funny, but it's also very sad. He gets blessed with a decked out Harley Davidson. I mean, special order, you know, and someone told God to give that to him. Okay? And it's because of something, his good faith or something. So they're driving to a conference of some sort. It's been a while since I've heard this story, but they're driving to this church conference, and passing them is this Corvette. I mean, fancy, convertible. He's like, wow, I sure would like to have that. He's admiring, he's looking like, oh my goodness, wow, you know, God, you know, that's something I would really like to have. You know, I'm so faithful to you. I give of my money. God, that I really desire, I want that. And God, I'm sure that you want the best things for me. And so they get to this place. And so they're talking with some people. And these people say, well, there's someone out there who has a gift for you. It turns out it's this Corvette. And it's given to him. And so his whole message to this congregation is, you desire these things so much that God is going to want to bless you and give them to you. And so our whole mentality is wrong. So you have so-called Christians out there who are being taught to desire. It's okay to really, really want and desire possessions, physical things. And that God really, really wants to bless you with these things, because these things are more important than loving Him after all. And loving each other. And so we're sending the wrong message here. But this verse is very clear. And it's so easy to say that if we ask anything, you'll get it. If your faith is strong enough. If you didn't get it, you didn't have enough faith. Which is also wrong. What John writes here is, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us. So what does that mean? What does that mean that according to His will? Well, let's first of all take a look at our perfect example that we have. Who is our perfect example? Christ. He is the one that we are to be imitating. He is the one that we are to follow in everything. So let's see how He prayed. Because after all, that's what John is talking about here. Prayer. Okay? Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Everyone there? Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36. Follow along. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. So, what is He being sorrowful about? Why is He deeply distressed? Anyone know?
Because when Jesus is there in the garden.
Mm-hmm. He's about to be, yes, this time is almost at hand. For the very purpose He came. Okay, so that's an interesting study in itself. He became sorrowful and deeply distressed. So, verse 38. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me. Pray with Me," He's saying. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me." Okay, he's about to suffer ultimate pain. And He knows this. He is going to be tortured and beat and kicked on and thorns jammed in his head and nails nailed. He's going to suffer very much. And because He's fully man, does anyone like to suffer pain? Even into death? He's deeply distressed. He's going to suffer. And so he prays to God. "Oh, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me." God, I don't want to suffer. If there's any way, let's go around this. He's fully man. He knows he's going to be experiencing excruciating pain. And like any other human, we're going to pray to find a way around it. But then what does He say? He says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Because He knows, being fully God also, that God's will is always done. And not ours. Christ, or God, if it is possible, let me not suffer this pain. But nevertheless, it's not what I will. It's not what I want. It's what God wills and what He wants. Let's continue, verse 40. Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Aren't we just like them? We're praying 5 minutes and we're sleeping. Or our minds are wondering, oh yeah, I got to do this tomorrow and that. He found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour? And isn't that our... Can we even pray silently in a room for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Praying is important, isn't it? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, he's praying to God. Unless there's another way, your will be done. And he knows that God's will be done. Always. It's never our will. God's will overrides our will. Always. Verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Again, he's saying, if there's any other way, if there's any way, a way around this pain, but God, my Father, not my will, but your will be done. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Time was coming. Imagine our Savior here, knowing that the time has come when He's going to be betrayed and taken away and suffer the ultimate pain for us. What would you feel like knowing that if someone was about to come and take you and put you through the worst excruciating pain that you can imagine? You'd be praying for a way around it, wouldn't you? But our perfect example gives us an example. He says, not my will, but God's will be done. Mark 14:36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So here's what we need to ask then. What is it that we desire? If we truly love God, what do you think it is that He wants us to be asking Him? Because He says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So what is it that is according to His will? Anyone know? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, we know the things that He has promised us that are written. This is His will. Reveal to us. So if we ask what is in here, He will hear us. Not, God, I'm asking for a Corvette. God, I'm asking for a a good-looking man to be my husband. The best-looking guy or girl that you can find out there, and the richest, God. Don't forget. He wants us to ask things like this. God, may I be more like you. God, how can I keep your word in my heart that I might not sin against you? God, train me, grow me, mature me, that I can take someone under my wing and disciple them. These are the things that we should desire and be asking for. And He hears us. God, give me wisdom. No, sorry, I don't want to give you wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask from God and He will grant it to you. He will give you wisdom. These are the things that we should be desiring and asking for. And even further than that, let's say we have a sick relative. Should we not ask for their healing? Of course we should. Or if a friend or a loved one is sick with something, what should our prayer be like? God, we ask that you heal this person of this disease. But let your will be done. It's not saying that we can't ask for their to be healed. Of course we can. But just like Christ, at the conclusion, it should always be, God, your will be done. What if He has a purpose and a plan for this person to die? We don't know what that purpose and plan is. And it might be hard to understand, but if that's His will, then His will be done. Or God, I'm praying for the salvation of my friend. He's lost and into wicked, evil, sinful things. God, would you please save him? Let your will be done. Salvation is of the Lord after all anyways. We can't save anyone. God saves. Salvation is of Him. So of course we can ask of our friends and loved ones to be saved. But always conclude, God, if it is your will. And yes, we can earnestly get on our knees and pray for people. Pray for them to be healed. But it's always what God's will is. But if you turn on the channel, they're going to tell you, if you believe enough, if you have enough faith, they'll be healed or you'll be healed. That's not what the Word of God says. Because again, God's plan, His will overrides ours. And then when someone doesn't get healed, they're told you didn't have enough faith and they're shattered and they leave. Boy, I'd hate to be in that person's shoes to tell them because they didn't have enough faith, they weren't healed. God has a plan and purpose in everything, and He is sovereign and in control. What if He uses someone's death to bring about salvation in another one's life? What if you have someone who's suffering with some sickness and they're on their deathbed and their spouse is an unbeliever, and they are, and they see their loved one suffering and dying here. They're saying, see, your God's not even healing you. But through that all, the one who is sick is praising God the whole time and thankful for everything. And they go home and die. And this one left behind sees their faith. And that even though they were suffering, they still praised God and loved Him and served Him. And what if through that, this person was saved? But yet, you're not going to hear that on TV with the so-called preachers. And thus they're deceiving many people. We ask according to His will. His will for you is that you be obedient to Him. That is His will for you. It's that simple. You want to know what you're called to do? Live a life of obedience to God. That is the will of God for your life. And that is exactly what we can ask. That is exactly why we have confidence. Because if we ask according to His will, He hears us. If you're asking for more wisdom and discernment and knowledge in His book, you think He's not going to give that to you? Of course He is. He wants to know you more. He's jealous for you. He wants you to love Him more. He wants to be your everything. He wants you to be wise in all things concerning Him. And so when we ask according to His will, He hears us. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Do we understand? I mean, there's guidelines for prayer, for husbands. We are told to live with our wives in an understanding way so that our prayers are not hindered. And so, if we don't live with our wives in an understanding way, our prayers are going to be hindered. For you men who one day will have wives, live with them in an understanding way. And so how can, as husbands, us pray, God, help me to live with my wife in an understanding way? Because in our weakness, that's not easy. And so that is praying according to His will. You see what I mean? Pray according to His will. According to what is in here. These are things that we can have confidence in going to Him. John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Listen to that. Listen to this. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Yet you have even average Joe who's not a Christian, but yet will pray to God or a God. You have people who think they're devoted to religion, but it might be false, and yet they're praying all this time. What does it say? God does not hear sinners. Well, you know, God, I might not be a Christian, but you know, I want what's good and best for my mom. She's sick and dying. God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. If we're Christians, we must be obedient to His word and keep it. And He will hear us when we pray to Him. When it says He hears us, it means to hear, to perceive with ears, to hear effectually, or so as to perform or grant what is spoken, keeping in mind according to His will. If all of our heart is seeking a Corvette, I'm sure God's not too concerned about that. He's more concerned about us being obedient to Him. And so when we come to Him with confidence, asking and praying to be more like Him, to be obedient to Him, He's going to hear us. If we want to live all week in sin and then ask for something to be done, that's hypocritical. And yet so many times we do that. We're guilty of it. And so we're wondering why we're always struggling and why we think God's not hearing our prayers. Well, it's because we're not, first of all, being obedient to His Word. So when we pray, we ask according to His will. Again, what is written and promised in His Word. You understand that? That is what we are to ask Him. What is written and promised in His Word. Then He hears us. Not what we desire and want in the flesh. Because remember, our flesh is evil. So of course we're going to want fleshful things, material things. God is not concerned about those things. He is concerned about the spiritual well-being of you and you being obedient to Him. And in so doing, when we go to Him, He hears us. Let's pray. Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord. For we go about our week not even thinking of You, not meditating on Your Word, and yet when we want something, we go quickly to You. Lord, give me this, give me that, do this, do that. Help us, Lord, first of all, to be obedient to You, to keep Your Word, to hide it in our hearts. Help us to be more like You. Help us to keep Your commands. Help us to truly love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love each other. And when we pray these things, we know that we're asking according to Your will, because this is what is written in Your book. And so we cry out to You, Father, help us in these areas. Help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, when we're praying for our friends who are not saved or family members, help us to make sure that we're living right first, so that You will hear our prayers, so that it can then be a true, sincere prayer for our loved one or friend who does not know You. Or God, for those, for a family or member or friend who's sick, who has some sickness or might be dying of a disease. Lord, help us to remember, let us be obedient first throughout our life so that You will hear us. And when we're praying for that loved one or friend who is dying or has some sickness, let us remember that Your will is always going to be done. So yes, it's okay to ask for healing for this person. Lord, heal this person of their sickness, of their disease. Heal them that this cancer or whatever is completely gone from their bodies. Nevertheless, let Your will be done. And so in life or in death, You are glorified. Help us to remember that Your will is always done. And so let us ask and pray according to Your will, just as Christ did. He knew He was going to suffer. He knew He was going to experience pain like no other. Pain amounting to all the sins of the earth for all of mankind. That's how much pain. But He cried out, "Not my will, but Your will be done." Let us do the same in all of our prayers. Not our will, but Your will be done in our lives, or in our friends' lives, in our family members' lives. Your will be done. And there's great comfort in that, knowing that your will is going to be done. And you do know best. And you do have a plan. Sir, your will is going to be perfect and just and good. And it's in Jesus' name that we can pray to you. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming. I hope we heard the Word of God tonight. And remember what we hear. Amen.